In the wake of another mass shooting, let's talk about corporations that have taken certain positions on guns, specifically banks. Citigroup and Bank of America restrict lending to certain gun makers and retailers. But lately, lawmakers in red states have pushed back, branding these banks woke and barring them from doing business in their states. In this next story, we're going to look at red state laws focused on the gun industry and how they impose costs on regular people. At the center of this is Texas. 2 years ago, Republican Governor Greg Abbott signed several pro-gun bills in the state that has more gun makers than any other.
Heck yes, government is coming to take your guns. Texas will not let that happen.
One new law says any bank that, quote, discriminates against the gun industry cannot do certain lending in Texas. Not surprisingly, the National Shooting Sports Foundation supported it. Here's an ad from the group.
Maybe if you haven't met somebody that works in the firearms and ammo industry, I mean, we're your neighbors. We got a church with you. We're next door to you. Our kids go to your schools. And there's
last year, Texas put Citigroup on the blacklist for its gun policy. See, 5 years ago, after the Parkland mass shooting in Florida, Citi announced a new firearms policy. It requires new clients that sell guns to check the backgrounds of buyers. And that landed Citi on the Texas blacklist. Now, before that, Citi had plans to help a small city north of Dallas borrow $99 million from bond investors. That city is Anna, Texas. Population, 20,000.
Dad, am I here?
Brian Heath lives there with his wife and his kids, who, as you can hear, are tearing around in the background. Brian is a data systems technician. He moved to Anna with his family in the 1990s. And back then,
it was two truck stops. The high school, the middle school, and the elementary school were all right next to each other in the same lot. When we first were here, there was no traffic lights. The town was just one exit.
Then Anna grew. Subdivisions came. And commuters, chain restaurants, and now it's an outer suburb of Dallas. Now, the city planned to get Citigroup's help to borrow money for, among other things, upgrading its water and its sewer systems. Because, according to Brian Heath, the water is, eh.
We don't drink it. We choose to use water bottles instead for drinking water and for making coffee and stuff. We avoid cooking with it and drinking it. The taste, it's just always tasted funny.
When Citigroup got booted from the state, that gave Anna, Texas, fewer choices of banks. Here's economist Daniel Garrett at the Wharton Business School.
Let's say there are a few car dealerships in a city and you're going out to try to buy a car. The largest car dealership in town closes down.
Less competition means you pay more, right? Well, the city of Anna had to go with the second best bid, a bank that charged higher interest, as in $277,000 more over 25 years.
I like to think about these things in terms of opportunity cost. What if we gave Anna, Texas an additional $277,000 today? Could they have spent that on? Would this go to better walks, sidewalks? Would this hire a few extra law enforcement officers? Would this help the local library build out?
Now, being an economist, Daniel Garrett thinks in big numbers. He says, consider the little city of Anna, Texas, with its playgrounds, with its noisy kids. And multiply its higher interest rate across the state of Texas, because all the cities and all the schools that borrow money in the bond market now have fewer choices. Garrett and his co-author, Ivan Ivanov at the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, did some fancy math and figured statewide, Texans paid an extra $300 million to $530 million in interest over just 8 months last year.
What could you do with $300 to $500 million? A really brand new modern high school in the U.S. is running about $150 million. And so you could say we could have built two or three new brand new high schools in the state of Texas instead of passing this rule.
As he sees it, these are the trade-offs, the hidden costs on regular people of laws against banks deemed politically correct.
That study doesn't consider the costs to the local economies and the tax base if the main industries of these states is being targeted, discriminated against by these banks.
That's Will Hild, executive director of the group Consumers Research. He's been a prominent voice in the conservative push against so-called woke banks and woke investing.
It's one thing to look at the increased borrowing costs, but if you don't look at the other side of the ledger, which is what does it do to the tax base of a school district when they shut down the local coal plant?
We also reached out to the Republican co-sponsors of the bill in Texas, barring contracts with banks that discriminate against the gun industry. None of them agreed to an interview. And now, beyond Texas, several GOP-led states have similar laws. Kentucky, Florida, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Missouri. But in the last couple months, some conservative lawmakers in Republican-majority states have been asking some pointed questions.
The question is, are we, you know, biting off our nose in spite of our face?
That is Wyoming State Representative Bob Nicholas, Republican. He spoke at a February hearing to ban banks with restrictions on oil, firearms, mining, or timber companies in the state.
If we can't work with several of our investment firms, I don't think it'll be possible for us to do this without losing money or losing the ability to get the best product for the best price for Wyoming.
But is the best price the most important thing? What about principles? At the Wyoming hearing, Nephi Cole of the National Shooting Sports Foundation spoke for firearms makers and sellers and for gun rights.
It brings up a very challenging question, which is, what is a right worth? And what is the value to the people of the state of Wyoming of being able to exercise a right?
As the argument goes, if a bank hurts a key industry in our state, then we refuse to work with that bank, period. West Virginia has blacklisted banks that refuse to lend to its coal companies. Here's State Treasurer Riley Moore on Fox Business.
We're not going to let them play games with our money. And if they want to continue to play stupid games, then they can win stupid prizes like losing contracts with the state of West Virginia.
It's not just taxpayers missing out on the things like new schools who have been pulled into this political fight. There is another group of regular people caught in the middle. Teachers, firefighters, police officers, and state employees who have money socked away in state pension plans. We're talking billions of dollars in savings. And many red state lawmakers want to pull that money out of Wall Street money managers that factor in climate change risk in their investment strategies. The lawmakers smell a political agenda. But the laws they're creating against ESG, environmental, social, and governance investing, could be costly. In Indiana, the state pension manager said an anti-ESG proposal would limit choices so much that long-term returns would come in at least $6 billion lower. Similar warnings have come from Kansas and from North Dakota. Renee Manley is a pension plan trustee for the Service Employees International Union.
We represent service sector workers, primarily healthcare workers. For our public sector members, they don't get Social Security. Our average member's pension is about $28,000 a year.
Manley says if states ban ESG investing, her members would struggle to retire.
The returns that the pension funds get could be lower if these ESG bills are allowed to proliferate and limit the fund's ability to invest.
As she sees it, these are the victims of laws against woke banks. Which brings us back to the little city of Anna, Texas. Aubrey Turner is a volleyball mom there, but the city has no home court to offer, so every game for her daughter's team is on the road.
So they basically, honestly, get kind of squished every time. And it's a hassle to be able to have a game. You have to drive 45 minutes. The games often start at 8 in the morning. Kids are not at their best.
She worries that the city, now that it's on the hook for higher interest payments, is going to have less money for gyms, for a city library, for a pool.
There are no public swimming pools, which causes a problem because there's not a central place for everybody to meet to have a birthday party or something like that.
In the end, she wonders if Anna, Texas will be able to keep up with other cities it's competing against. For families, homeowners, and small businesses.
There are other cities around that have made those investments. And socially, that feels like the good place to be because there are those resources. And it feels like Anna's kind of the other side of the tracks.
And saddled with costs because of a law that kicks out banks that Texas considers woke.